First of all, I will continue hearing confessions after the sermon. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of July. There will be no Mass in Birmingham. This coming Thursday is the first Thursday of July. We have our regular day of reparation here in the monastery. We have Holy Hour followed with benediction from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock in the morning and from 3:30 to 4:30 in the afternoon. I know many of you cannot make it, but I suggest that those who can't, if you can at least pick out a couple of periods, one in the morning and one in the afternoon, and unite yourself spiritually with us here and spend a little time in meditation and prayer, spiritual reading, as an act of reparation for all the outrages that are being heaped upon our Lord throughout the world. This Friday is the first Friday of July, but it's also the 4th of July, a national holiday. We will have the 6 o'clock and the 8 o'clock Masses, but we will not have our usual day of adoration. We will postpone that until the following Friday. So this Friday, we will have the 6 and the 8 o'clock Mass for the first Friday, but we will wait until next Friday to have our all-day adoration in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And of course, this Saturday is the first Saturday of July. And I strongly urge those who can take advantage of the graces involved in these 2 days to do so. Also, there are those who object to this, but I have to say they are incorrect. The Church has always followed the policy that when a major civic holiday, a legal holiday, falls on Friday, meat is allowed to be eaten on that day. So this 4th of July, we may eat meat in good conscience. There are those who try to be more Catholic than the Catholic Church, but that will get them nowhere. On behalf of the monks and the nuns of our 2 monasteries, I wish everyone a happy 4th of July and a safe 4th of July. Pray for our country. Pray for all countries, but pray especially for our country. We can say what we like about it or about our government. We can like it or dislike it. But we must still pray for it, regardless of our feelings or our thoughts. There will be no catechism class after Mass today or next Sunday. I also wish, on behalf of the monks and the nuns of our monasteries, to thank everyone who participated in the wonderful, beautiful, glorious Corpus Christi ceremonies last Sunday. And I wish to thank everyone who donated anything at all for that glorious day, especially flowers for the altars. My good people, I strongly suggest that you all, sometime later today, when you have a few moments, sit down and reread today's epistle. And I also suggest, whenever you find yourselves feeling overly oppressed or discouraged, or lackadaisical or uninspired, that you reread this epistle. I know today is the Feast of the Apostles, but from the pulpit it's always read the gospel that is for that Sunday. And as this is the third Sunday after Pentecost, it was formerly known as a Sunday within the octave of the Feast of the Sacred Heart. We look around us, and we don't have to look very far, just inside our own lives, our own families, and we see very little for encouragement, for hope. Everything is falling down around us. The church, the world, our families. No matter where we look, all we see is sin and chaos, discouragement, suffering, crosses everywhere. If we would readjust our eyesight, so to speak, instead of looking at all these things that we call evil or unhappinesses as such, let us look at them as what they really are. And this sounds very strange and is hard to grasp for some people. But all these so-called evils are actually gifts from our Lord, from God Himself. Today, when so few people even acknowledge the existence of God, when He finds those few who love Him, He allows, or He directly sins, because there are two parts to God's will. He either actively wills something, or He allows it to happen. And we sometimes wonder, why suffering? Why pain? Why all this ugliness? Why are we allowed to fall into sin so much? Why? God didn't want robots. Why? If you have a pet dog and you keep it pinned up or chained up all the time, you never can know for sure if it really loves you or not, because it's being held there probably against its will. But if you turn that dog loose and it stays right beside you, no matter what, even if you forget to feed it from time to time, or if you accidentally lose your temper and kick it once or twice, and it stays beside you, it shows that it loves you. It's the same way with God. That's why He gave us free will. He wanted us to show Him that we love Him. He didn't want robots that had to love Him. They have no choice. Where is the profit in that? He wanted us to show how much we love Him, no matter what He allows to come our way. His own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, took the hard way, took the road of suffering. So why do we expect anything different? Are we better than our Lord? When God allows hardships to come our way, as I said a moment ago, they really and truly are gifts. Because he's giving us a chance to show him how much we really love him. If we had it so easy and everything went the way we wanted it to, no flaws, no nothing, everything hunky-dory, what would we be offering our Lord? Where would be the merit? It's easy to love when everything's going your way. But the real test of love is when everything's going the other way. And you stick with our Lord. You stick with God. You don't give up. You don't turn against him. You actually thank him for this opportunity to show your love to him. We know that God loves us. He has proved it over and over again. And most ultimately, by the crucifixion and death of his own Son, only for our sakes. And yet, we sometimes forget that he does love us, and we sometimes wonder why he doesn't take better care of us. And then we start worrying. If we truly love God, we will place all our trust in him and know that no matter what comes our way, he will take care of us. He will bring good out of all of it. But that doesn't mean that we can sit back and twiddle our thumbs because God will take care of me. No, we have to show God that we love him. We have to put forth the effort of changing ourselves from our fallen human nature to one that gets rid of self, has gotten rid of self, and opens itself completely to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We have to bite our tongue. We have to curb our appetites, whether it's the appetite of hunger or sex or anything, greed, money, power, they're all appetites we have to curb. We have to conquer self. And in conquering self, we will show God that we love him. So my good people, I urge you to be of good cheer, to be of much hope, knowing that everything that comes our way, the apparent destruction of the church and the world and our families, is all in God's hands, and he will bring good out of all this chaos to his greater honor and glory. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.